All right, so we're on Daf Mem Gimel side 43a. So we got up to the Mishnah on the sixth line from the top of Mem Gimel Rala. Now, in the parak, we've been talking about Mudar Hanas. Mudar Hanas, when one person can't get benefit from another person, that's basically Mudar Hanas. But this Mishnah has a little bit of a break, and then we'll go back to our Mudar Hanas situation. So Manitin Amarlo Hashilini Paratha. Reuven says to Shimon, can I borrow your cow? Now, some of Farshim say he wanted to borrow the cow to plow with. Some say that Bedafka, the lender, didn't want him to borrow the cow to plow with. But either way, Amarlo ain't a pnuya. Shimon says, my cow is not available. So it says, Amar, komasadi shani choreshba liolam. So Reuven, in anger, this is the way that Rav Kahati wanted to take it. Reuven, in anger, says that he makes a konam. In other words, it should be prohibited on me to ever plow my field with your cow. I've had it with your cow. He says, so imayad darko lach rosh, who has store of a kol adam utarim. So if Reuven normally would plow the field himself, so we're construing the netter. So his netter means that he, Reuven, is not going to plow the field with Shimon's cow. But anybody else could use Shimon's cow. So if Reuven gets a worker or somebody else, they could take Shimon's cow and do it. But if it means like this, then afterwards, Shimon was willing to lend the cow. After Reuven made the neder, Shimon was willing to lend the cow. But if he normally would never plow the field himself, so then he and everybody's prohibited. It means, so in other words, we're trying to understand what did he mean when he said with this neder that he says, so either he meant that I'm never going to use this cow ever more, I've had it with your cow, I'm not going to plow with this cow anymore. But if he never plows with the cow, then more likely his intent was that I don't want to get any benefit from the cow on my field. So we're all going to do our own thing. Okay. So all right. Now the mission continues on. Now we're back in Mudar Hana. So now the Mishnah, we've been speaking a lot about people who are Mudar Hana from each other. So Mudar Hana could be one of two ways. Either Reuven says, I'm not going to get Hana from Shimon, or Shimon is an Eder that Reuven can't get Hana from him. Either way, Reuven is Mudar Hana from Shimon. So what? Well, it means that either one can make an Eder, but in other words, it's going in one direction. Reuven can't get Hana from Shimon, but either Reuven makes an Eder, he's not going to get Hana from Shimon, or Shimon makes an Eder, that Reuven is prohibited from getting Hana from him. So it's going one direction, but either one can make the neder. So, but the Mishnah is going to speak about ways to get around the issue of being Mudar Hana. Let's say people have Harata, whatever, and they want to get around it. So, Hamutar Namechaveiro, Bein Lo Mayokal. So let's say, we'll say Shimon made a neder that Reuven can't get Hana from him, and then Reuven has got nothing to eat, and Shimon has like maybe Harata, he has Rachmanis on him. So Shimon can go to a chenvani, to a storekeeper, but Omer, and say to the storekeeper, Ish ploni, and here the Bach has Mudar Mimeni Hana. This person, i.e. Reuven, is Mudar Hana from me. He says, but any of the Amayasa, I don't know what to do. He has nothing to eat. Behuno Tainlo. So then the storekeeper will take the hint, and the storekeeper on his own will give Reuven food for free. And then go back to Shimon and get money for it. Now, here, the Ran, let's look at the Ran, the second very wide line in the Ran downstairs. So he says, Rebuta Kamashvalan. So the mission sees me a Chiddush. The Afagab, the Regiletzlo, even though Shimon has a relationship with this Chenvani, Umakifo Tadir, and he's like, got a regular like credit account with this Chenvani. We don't say that the Chenvani is doing the shlichus of Shimon, which we prohibited. And certainly if a person says whoever feeds them, you know, won't lose out, don't tell me the next run, meaning if he wants to, means even though both had this in mind, i.e. Shimon had this in mind and the Chenvani had it in mind that he's going to come back and get paid, he's lav shlichus d'abi, do abishliach, ela ba'omer kol shomer kli zon k'davar ma'bir. So he's saying like this, that Mitzad Adin, the Chenvani, can't force Shimon to pay him the bill. In other words, Shimon said, you know, I don't know what to do with Reuben, he's got nothing to eat. And then the Chenvani takes the hint and gives Reuben food, and then the Chenvani comes back to Shimon and Shimon pays the money. Doesn't mean that Shimon has to pay him the money or that was part of the agreement, but they both had this in their mind that, you know, this will probably really work out. That's permissible. But if they have an agreement that Shimon is going to pay him and he's obligated to do that, then he's doing his shlichus to Shimon, and then Shimon's violating the neder. That would not work out. Okay, so then again, we have three ways to get out of this neder. So that's the way number one. He says back in the Mishnah, Hayabeto, two lines from below the aleph in parentheses. Hayabeto livno. Let's say Reuven needs to build a house. They wrote Ligdor, or he needs to build a fence. And a fence means like a stone fence, at least that's the way Rashi says in the Chumash by Bilam. He says, Gader Mizeh, Gader Mizeh. So Rashi says, Stam Gader Shel Abanim, at least in the Chumash, that like a getter without any, you know, other specifications, a stone fence. So they look sore, or Reuven needs to harvest his field, and he has nothing, no means to do any of those things. No means to build a house, no means to build a fence, no means to harvest the field. So Shimon, it's sort of strange. Shimon is the one who could have made the neder, and yet Shimon is the one who's trying to help out Reuven now. Shimon goes to workers, Omer, and says to them, Ish ploni mudar mimeni. There's somebody that's mudar hana for me, so I can't help him out directly. Mudar mimeni hana. Menu de'ema, I don't know what to do for him. Osinimo uba'am. So they, on their own, same as the Chenvani, will get the idea from Shimon and then go and do the work, and then they could get paid from Shimon later on, but not that Shimon is believed to do that. Okay, that's all counts as way number one. Way number two, Mahalkin Baderech. Let's say Reuben and Shimon were walking on the way. It seems sort of strange that they would be walking together because they still seem like they had a good relationship, but they were walking together. And Reuven has nothing to eat, but Reuven is mudar hana from Shimon, so it's problematical. So Shimon could give food to a third party. Shimon will give food to Levi, and he says, and then Reuven is permissible in food. In other words, like the food is getting laundered. He gave it to a third party, and now Reuven can go to that third party. That's way number two. Way number three, let's say just Reuven and Shimon are walking by themselves. Seems a little awkward, but they're walking by themselves. So, and Reuven's got nothing to eat. Shimon has what to eat, but Reuven can't take the food because Shimon answered it. So Shimon can put the food on a rock, or he puts it on the stone fence. But Omer, and then he says, I declare this food hefker, ownerless. At which point, Reuven can come and take it because it's ownerless. Rabbi Yossi Osir. So Rabbi Yossi in last case disagrees with that halakha, and we'll discuss in the Gemara why Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So let's just summarize what we did, and let's go over the Mishnah, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, let me just do a little bit more with the Ran first before I go over the Mishnah. So if you look in the Ran, it's around six lines from the bottom. I have Beitul of note. If Reuven needs to build a house, lo zuav zukatani bereisha ashmin zetzorot mizon rachari. In other words, the Mishnah is going in low zuabsu. Some of the Mishnah goes down like this, but even this, more of a chiddush. In the Reisha case, is Reuven needed food to eat. That's an essential thing. So we're trying to get him a way to get the food. And he does the thing with the Chenvani. He says, the safe Kamashmalan, the Surah Binyan Beitu Itiru. The safe, the next clause teaches me that even if the need is not so vital as food, he needs it for a house, he can also do it with, like, to say to the person, you know, this guy's mudar hana for me, I don't know what to do, and then the guy builds it. Then we said in the last case that Shimon can give the food to a third party. He says, he says that, so at that point, Reuben's not benefiting from Shimon, Reuben is benefiting from Levi. He's the one who was the recipient of the gift. So this is where he's leaving the food on the rock or on the fence. So he's just zocha from hefker. Rabbi Yossi will serve the morning for his time. The Gemara is going to explain the reason for that. Okay, let's just review the Mishnah, and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the first part of the Mishnah was something totally, not totally unrelated, but not directly related to Mudar Hana'a, where Reuven said to Shimon, can I borrow your cow? And Shimon says, the cow's busy. And then Reuven, either in anger or Reuven wanted to emphasize that he didn't need the cow for plowing. You know, in other words, either it's that Reuven needed the cow for plowing and Shimon didn't want to lend it to him, so he got angry and he says, he makes an edder that he's never going to use this cow for plowing, or Shimon didn't want to lend it to, for plowing, and Reuven said he wasn't going to lend it for plowing, but Shimon apparently didn't believe him, whatever, so he didn't lend him the cow, and then Reuven proved that he doesn't need the cow for plowing, he makes his netter. But either way, he makes the netter. So then we had construed the netter. What was his intent with the netter? So if Reuven is somebody who normally plows his own field, so Mistama he meant that he cannot use the cow for plowing, but other people could. But if he, Reuven, never plows the field, then the plow the field is plowed by other people, so then he meant that he can't get enough from the cow if anybody uses it. All right, that was the first halakha. Then the second part of the mission we did was a person's mudar hanav from his friend, Reuven's mudar hanav from Shimon. We had three ways to get around this prohibition. So if Reuven needs food, or Reuven needs to build a house, or Reuven needs to build a fence, so when Shimon wants to help him out, so Shimon can go to the Chenvani and say, you know, Reuven needs food, he's mudar hanav from me, I don't know what to do, and then the Chenvani gets the tip, and then he'll give him the food, and the Chenvani can collect from Shimon, provided that the Chenvani is that Shimon is not required to pay the Chenvani, that's on his own. And then that's one. Then we have second case, if they're walking along together, i.e. Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven has nothing to eat, Shimon has food to eat, so Shimon wants to help him out, Shimon will give the food to a third party, and Reuven can get it from the third party, he's not so far from Shimon. Or, that's the second case, the third case, they're walking by themselves, there's nobody else around, so then that was my focus between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama. Tanakama holds that Shimon can leave the food on a sella or on a geder and declare it Hefker, in which case Reuven can be Zoka from Hefker, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we do in the Mishnah? Everybody good? Everybody happy? Okay, let's move on. Okay, so we're 6 lines from the bottom in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Yossi. So we're focusing on the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who says that if they're just the two of them walking on the pathway, that it's not a good Eitzah that Reuven leaves the food on the rock or on the geder. Why not? So he says, Kesavar Hefker Kematana, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi holds like a Hefker is just like a gift. Mamatana ad Akim Rishut Notain Rishut Makabel, just like by a matana, until I give it to the recipient, I can change my mind. So let's say this tomorrow would be a gift, and I'm thinking of giving it to Michael, but until I give it to him, I could say I changed my mind. Now it's my gift's off. So he holds af hefker ad'ati rishut zoche. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that by hefker as well, until somebody is zoche from hefker, the notain can cancel it at any time. So since the donor cancel it at any time, so in essence, the donor maintains, it's like, so when the recipient is Zocha from Hefker, he's really Zocha from the original owner. In other words, if the original owner can cancel at any time, so the second person is Zocha from Hefker, so it's like he's Zocha from, if in other words, if we, our case was Reuven and Shimon, so Shimon was the donor, so if I hold that Shimon can cancel this whole, you know, Hefker status until Reuven seizes it. So in essence, it's sort of Shimon's property, even though it's in Hefker. That's the way it's coming out. So therefore, it's still subject to the dinim of the neder. And the chamim hold, no, once you gave it to Rishut Hefker, you're out of the picture. That, the core, is the way we're understanding it right now. Let's go over again. Okay, so just one second. So the last case of the Mishnah, we had Reuven and Shimon are walking along. And Reuven is hungry and Shimon's got food. Nobody else is around. So Shimon takes the food. He puts it on a sella, and he says, this is Hefker, whoever wants can take it. So the Chamu hold, he made it Hefker, so Shimon is out of the picture now. Now, Reuven is Zocha, so he's Zocha from Hefker. So it's nothing to do with Shimon. But we think Rabbi Yochanan holds, Shimon's not out of the picture yet. Shimon's not out of the picture. Shimon can say, I changed my mind, I want the property back, until Reuven is Zocha with it. That being the case, In some level, Reuven is getting hana from Shimon, since Shimon can cancel it at any time, so Reuven is getting benefit from Shimon. Okay, what's the question?
So, when I have Chometz,
right,
and it's Erev Pesach,
right.
I say this is the Hefer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the simple shot we hold like the Chacham that it's out of your Rishos. It's out of your Rishos. What would it mean, Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and what would Rabbi Yossi do according to that side? So, Rabbi, you're right. So, according to there's a difference between there's a difference between Hefker and Yeish. Right. Hefker,
we're talking about Hefker.
So on with Hefker to offer the artist. So it's one of the ways that we're required coming. So I don't know what Rabbi Yossi looks at Erev Pesach.
And you have this all the time. You have most hectic that for some reason you can't. You have to throw it in the Yamamela.
Right.
Okay, that's being mocked. Okay? So, but we don't feel that someone has to be zoked it to get out of my rishus.
Right.
He's saying someone else.
Right. So within the Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, Rabbi Yossi, I'm not sure how we would handle those cases. Okay? You mean about the Beit Horon? We're going to have this on. We're going to have this on other days. We'll have this. Okay. All right. Now, who had another question on that? Oh, that's it. Everybody good? Okay. Let me go on. Now, let's take a look. Okay, now, Matzev Rabbi Abba. Now, so that's the Hesber that Rabbi Yochanan gives to our Mishnah. So Matzev Rabbi Abba, now Rabbi Abba is posing a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber based on following Braisa. This Braisa repeats at least the last case of the Mishnah. It may repeat even more, but tomorrow only puts the tail end of the Braisa. This is Matzev Rabbi Abba, v'halo no tail v'ofel, so this means the last case in the Mishnah, where Shimon put the food on the rock, and then Reuben picks it up in Zotel. Rabbi Yossi Oser, so the Braitha adds on, I'm Rabbi Yossi, means Braitha had that earlier case, and then I'm Rabbi Yossi, Ematoi, and this, and the Braitha says, when is that permissible? When do I say that it's prohibited, that he can't do that? Is Manchinidro put on the Hefkero, where Shimon made the Neder, and then he's Mafkir. In other words, he makes the Neder, and then he's Mafkir the food, then I say it's not good. But turn page. Let me get the page. He says, Aval, Imiyahefkeru Kotal Nidro. But if first he was mafkir the food, and then for some reason he makes the neder that Reuben can't get hana from him, Harezim Mutar. That's permissible. So now we're throwing in a little bit of a fly in the ointment, understanding Rabbi Yossi's opinion. So in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi says that if Shimon first decides to be mafkir the food, and then he makes the neder that Shimon, that Reuben can't get enough from it. So Reuben can nevertheless pick the food up off the rock, and he's good. Now the Gemara says, if you're going to say ad'ati the rishut zocha, that until the person zocha from it, it's still like Shimon's food. Mali nidro kol nefkero, mali afkero kol nidro. So what difference does it make whether he makes the neder first or he makes the hefker first? In other words, if it's still more or less Shimon's, why is there such a chiluk? Why is there such a chiluk like that? So, who motiv love, whom is shani love? So, Rabbi Abba is the one who posed the question, and Rabbi Abba has a teretz he wants to give. Kula noder, in dato amashe hefker. That when a person makes a neder, he doesn't have in mind that the neder includes anything that he was already mafkir. So it means like this, that if Shimon, in other words, in Achinami, we're defending the idea, we're defending Rabbi Yochanan's Hesver, Rabbi Shimon, that a person could cancel out any hefker, any designation of hefker, until somebody zocha from hefker. But when a person makes the neder, I don't want, let's say, Reuben to get benefit from my property, he's not thinking about things that he was mafkir already. He's only thinking about things that he owns, 100% right now. So that's why if he was mafkir it and then he makes the neder, so he assumed that the food that he put in hefker, was not included in his neder. That's the way, that's a working pshat to defend Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber of Rabbi Yossi. Okay? Everybody good so far? Okay, let me go on. So, the Gemara says, Mati Brava. Okay, so up until now, we have Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber of Rabbi Yossi, and I'm just repeating, and Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber is that, according to Rabbi Yossi, a person still sort of has like strings connected to the property that he's mafkir until somebody is zoche from heaven.
That holds against Rabbi Yossi. What does he hold when he's mafkir? That he can't change his mind, or he could still change his mind?
No. The way we're working now, Rabbi Yossi holds that he could still change his mind, and he could say.
No, I understand that. But what is Rabbi Yossi is mechulik to the Tanakh.
No, the coming hold. Once you're mafkir it, it's history.
That's it.
It's gone. Okay.
And he can't change his mind. Can he change his mind?
I mean, he could go over and maybe pick up the Heftza Mizoka from Hefker, but his statement alone won't cancel it out.
All right.
Now, on line five, Mativ Rava. Rava poses a kasha from the following braisa. Now, this braisa, as you see, is in Baba Batra, and it deals with the Shechiv Mira. If you remember, we've spoken about this in the past in Daf Yomi, but let's go over again. So, Shechiv Mira is a person who's like seriously ill, in contemplating death. In other words, he thinks he's on his deathbed. So there, the Chachamim had, so normally, if I give property away, you have to make a kinyan, and then you acquire the property. If I just talk, you know, I want A to get this, doesn't do anything, doesn't mean anything. But Chazal teach us, Divrei Shchimira, Kichtuvinichim Surim Dami. The words of the Shchimira is if he wrote it down and he gave it over to the person already. Meaning, even without a kinyan, if a Shchimira says, I want A to have this, B to have that, C to have that, that's an effective gift. That's one thing. And then B, if he recovers from his illness, he can cancel out the gift. Those are the two things that can happen with the Shchimira. Okay? So, all right. So now, let's see the braisa. So, Mati Brava. So, I'm learning this, which is the way that the art school had it, which is they said it was, well, they said it's the way the Rush has it, the way. And they said the way Tosos has it. So I looked in the Rush. So he says here, Mativ Rava, Miksatan L'Rishon, let's say somebody's on their deathbed and they say, Miksatan L'Rishon, I want some of my property to go to Reuven, the Kul on the Sheni, and then everything I want to go to Shimon. Now, it's going to come out, for reasons that I'll explain shortly, that when he says Kul on the Sheni, it means even the part that I gave to Reuven, I changed my mind. I wanted to go to Shimon. And then the person who was on his deathbed or thought he was on his deathbed recuperates and wants to cancel out the gift. Now, the first gift he did with a kinyan, Mixtan the Rishon, and then he said, Kul on the Sheni. So let's say he said, you know, I want Greenacre to go to Reuven, and then Kul on the Sheni. No, I want all my property to go to Shimon. And then he recuperates and he says, you know, I want all my money back. Rishon Kana, Sheni Lo Kana. So the Tana of the Braisa says that notwithstanding his harata, the first person acquired the Chepza, the second one did not. Now, it means like this, that we assume the Tana means, see, when you have a Matana B'Shivira, if I'm planning like my estate planning, and I give away all my property. I mentioned this with Shchimira, he has to give away all his property to be Matan Shchimira. He can't give away part of the property. He's got to give everything away. So if the person says, let's say he has three pieces of property, all assets, he says, you know, A goes to Reuven, B goes to Shimon, C goes to Levi, and then he recuperates, he says, I want all my property back. He could do that because he recuperated and that's the way it goes. Well, it could be in Ksubis, but the main, you see, this Bryce is in Baba Batra, but, it, you know, well, things come up throughout Shas in lots of different places. So here he says, the second clause says, Kul on the Sheni. And then the title of the Bryce says, Rishon Kana Sheni Lo Kana. So if his testamentary gifts would have been to Reuven and Shimon as part of his estate planning, then nobody would be Kona. Nobody would be Kona. But since the Tana Brice says the Rishon is Kana and the Sheni is not Kona, it means the only way we think it makes sense is that he made a gift to Reuven and they did a Kenyan. And then when he says Kula on the Sheni, He says, all of my property I want to go to Shimon. He attempted to undo the gift to Reuven. And then he recuperated. He said, no, I want my property back. So the Rishon is Kona, and the second one is not Kona. So now when the Rishon is Kona, and the second one's not Kona, so it means that even though he gave, in quotation marks, the gift to Reuven, he still nevertheless, like, has Harata. When he says Kulan, he means even the first gift that he gave to Reuven. When he says Kulan, he means all my estate. And he means even the one that he had given earlier away to Reuven. So we see that even when he's attacking the Hezbollah that we gave before, we said before that when a person makes a neder, his intent is not on something he was mafkir already. That's what we said. We said that Rabbi Abba said to defend Rabbi Yochanan, the explanation of Rabbi Yossi, we said that when a person, in other words, we said that Rabbi Yossi distinguishes between whether a person was mafkir his property first and then made the neder, or he made the neder and then he was mafkir the property. We said when he's mafkir first, then he makes the neder. So in Akinami, according to Rabbi Yossi, he still has like strings attached to the property because he can't let out. When he makes the neder, he's not thinking about the earlier disposition to hefker. But here in this brisa, we see that even when a person gave the property to Reuven, he still has his mind on it the second time around when he says Kulan to Shimon. Kulan to Shimon means even the first property. So even the property that I gave away, I'm still thinking about even when I give it to the second one. So that's a kasha against Rabbi Azba's Hezbollah. Okay? So as a result of that kasha, Rava has a different explanation in our Gemara. So see, four lines from the bottom. Elam Arava, we know Ela means like delete, move on. Elam Arava, Hainu Tam with Rabbi Yossi. So Rava says a different Hezbollah, why Rabbi Yossi says that Reuven can't pick it up off the rock. Elam Arava, Hainu Tam with Rabbi Yossi, Zera, Bisha Matanat Bechoron. It's a Zera because of the Matanat Bechoron, and I think this is what you may have been referring to earlier. Maybe, so if you remember, so look, let's look. It's a Gemara later on Daf Mem Chet, and in Daf Yomi, everything happens so quickly, we'll be there before you can say Jack Robinson. So let's look quickly at the Mishnah on Daf Mem Chet, 48a.
Memchad.
That's what I said. I said that, but I didn't see it there. Okay, we'll go over it again. Now, oh, I see it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Memchad Amin Aleph. So let's take a look. So it's around. Okay, it's around six lines above where it gets wide. Amim Chet Amin Aleph. Okay, 48A, three lines down in the Mishnah, Amim Chet Amin Aleph, on page 95. It says, Ma'ase b'chad Beit Choron. There was an incident with somebody in Beit Choron. She'aviv shvi mudar heimenu hana'a. So it's a sad situation. Remember, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yitzchak's father, Avram, is mudar hana'a from it. In other words, Avram can't get any hana'a from Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was marrying off his son Yaakov. So Yitzchak having a wedding party for Yaakov, and he'd like the father to be at the wedding, but the father's mudar hana'a from it. Maybe Yitzchak made an edit, his father can't get any hana'a from him. But Amar l'chaveiro, so Yitzchak says to his friend, I'm giving you my whole chatzer, I'm giving you the whole seuda. You, Levi, you own the chatzer, you own the whole seuda. I'm giving this to you because I want my father to be able to enjoy the wedding feast. Amar, at which point Levi says back to Yitzchak, if they're my property, I feel in generous mood, I'm makdish all the property to the base of Mikdash. So, or the Mishamayim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar lo, so at which point Yitzchak says to Levi, I didn't give it to you for the purpose to be makdishit. Amar lo, in other words, apparently you gave it to me. In other words, this is a charade. You want me just to be sort of like the show, like to stand in the place. So Chami said that any matana that came back is just not a real matana. So the point is, in Matana Ben Choron, is they, it was sort of like the guy tried to make a sort of faux gift to his friend just to get around the rubric or the prohibitions of the netter, but he didn't really mean it in the full sense of the word that it's yours, because the guy said, the person, the recipient says, if it's mine, I want to be makdish. So what are you makdish it? I didn't give it to you for that purpose. So now back in our Gemara, I'm in Gimel Mabez. So the Gemara says, Elam Arava, I know Thomas Rabbi Yossi. The reason Rabbi Yossi says that he shouldn't be makdish, again, these two are alone, just Reuben and Shimon. And Shimon takes the food, he puts it on a rock, and he says, I'm makdish. So we don't want to do that, Gzer Mishum Matana Beferon, meaning that maybe if we do this, so sometimes it'll lead to a situation where Shimon doesn't mean it sincerely that it's really hefker, and then it's just like sort of getting around it. Let's look at the round on this. One second.
But we had a whole mission of people trying to get around it.
One second. Yeah, make it. Well, we'll do the Rashi instead. Okay, if you look at the Rashi around the sixth wide line, Shimon Tabek Karon. Cannot be pirkin l'kaman, like we learned on Perik on Daf and Chet. The mucha milta lo nintana l'chavero osho shivo abi biyochal. It's apparent from the circumstances that Yitzchak, in my example, only gave the property to Levi so his father would be able to come to the wedding, but not that he really meant it as a sincere gift. B'hachanami imrinan habi hefker. So in Rabbi Yossi holds, in this case, if I say that Shimon could just be mafia the property, put it on a rock, and then Reuben can eat it, came into Ein Shem Mecher, since nobody else is there except Reuben and Shimon, Mechse Deshil Mudar Mamash here. It looks like he's so-called mafkirit just so Reuben should get it. By the Dumi, the Beit Horon, and that's similar to the Beit Horon situation. Hilkach Utmina Adrabanan, Zaloha Habi Hefkir Ad Atu Shud Zoche. Okay, so now, let's go back. So Rabbi Yossi says that we don't let him do it because I'm afraid of a situation where it'll be a charade and it won't be a real maisa of hefkeros. That's the way Rav understands the Mishnah. Okay, now let's just pause for 1 minute. Let's digest what we did and then move on. Okay, so we've been focusing on the last halach in the Mishnah. Last halach in the Mishnah is Reuben and Shimon are alone. Reuben has got no food. Shimon's got lots of food, but Reuben is mudar hanah from Shimon, and the Tana Kama says the Eitzah is Shimon will be mafkir some food, leave it on the rock, and then Reuben go nashurai. But Rabbi Yossi says absolutely not. So he gave two hezbeirim in Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason Rabbi Yossi says absolutely not is Rabbi Yossi holds that when you're mafkir something, you could take it back. I could, with a word, say I changed my mind, I'm taking it back. So since that's the case, so he sort of like has some shaychus with the chefza, even though he's mafkir it. So Mela, therefore, that being the case, it would still run afoul of our dinim of Mudar Hana. And then Rabba disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabba says, no, the reason Inachinami Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Chachamim, and once you're mafkir something, it's history, then that's it, you've got your reshut. So within this hector, no, you don't have any question. So that's what Rabba holds. Everybody agrees with that. But here, Rabbi Yossi is choshesh for like a matana becharon. Matana becharon was like a sort of like faux gift, like a charade gift. So I'm afraid if I let him do that, it's going to lead to a charade. He says he's mafkir, but like there's just the two of them there. Who knows where this is going to lead to? So that's why he says not to do it. Okay, that's where we're at to right now. What's up?
The whole.
Okay, what's up, Fern? Fern, what do you got?
The whole Mishnah, except for that first case, which is different, is really a little bit about a charade.
When you say, halakha is filled with situations where we try to get around situations, like you sell Tamid some Pesach, so is that a charade or is that a real sale? You know, so the
question mark,
then you should destroy all your comments. Anyway, in halakha, we have all sorts of things that are work and things that don't work. So the mission is giving aces that everybody agrees works. And the last one we have a machloket on. So, okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Michael.
So the Hefkeris puts it in a different getter, is what you're saying.
Wait, one second. All right. But that doesn't sound like a good matana. Okay, now.
Can we hear that?
Okay. So Oded was just mentioning to Michael that there's a place in Israel, in Beit Horon, and there's a store, Matana Beit Horon is the name of the store. So I said it doesn't sound like a great gift, you know. Okay. Now let's be back in the Gemara. Okay, now we'll get ready with a little bit for tomorrow's daf. And then now tomorrow I'm going to do it 8:10 again as well. 8:10 again tomorrow. And I think you're finishing one volume of our scroll tomorrow. And then, okay, now let's see where we are. Now, all right. So now Tanya, okay, now we learned in the Braisa. Let's all focus on this Braisa. Hamafkir et Sadehu. If a person, if Reuven is, now this is going back to Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber. Rabbi Yochanan, again, his Hesber in the Mishnah is, that Rabbi Yossi holds that you still maintain like a contact with the Chefza. So the Braisa says, Hamafkir et Sadehu. If a person declares his field to be ownerless, for the first 3 days, he can cancel his hefkeres. After that, it's history. You can't be chozer with it. Now, the way the Ron explains this is that he could be chozer with it. But let me get with the Ron with this. Is because they were afraid for when the field is hefker, it removes it from the obligation to give mice there. Whereas, let's say I have a field, and now the crops have grown, and I don't want to give mice there to Levi. So I have an Eitzah. I'll be mafkir the field, and then I'll reclaim the field. So once it's hefker, it's not chayv and mastros. Then once I reclaim it, it's like sort of been like a little bit like laundered or whatever. I got out of it. So the Chamim didn't like that the people were doing that for tricksters. So they said, you know what? In order for we don't want the Ramayim to do it this way, so we're making a different rule. We're going to say that even if you're mafkir the property, you could still reclaim it within 3 days. So that means it's not really hefker in essence, because you could reclaim it in 3 days. And then to do it more than 3 days, the tricksters don't want to do it that way. And because of doing it that way, so even if somebody else is zoka on it, the original one can still do it. But after that point, the person can't go back and reclaim it. So lechora, this line in the Braisa sounds like within Rabbi Yochanan, the way the Chachamim understand it. In other words, never mind the 3 days, but after the 3 days, ein yachol lachzorbo, you can't be chozer anymore. You can't retract it. That sounds like the Chachamim, that at a certain point in time, you can no longer retract the hefker. Okay, now let's see the next line to the Braisa on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. It says, Amar, but if the person said, Tehesad Azumuf Teret Yom Echad, he says, I want my field to only be hefker for 1 day, L'Shabbat Echad, for 1 week, L'Chodesh Echad, for 1 month, L'Shana Echad, for 1 year, L'Shavua Echad, or for 1 7-year period, incredible period. Ad Shlo Zachabo, Bein Hu Bein Acher, Yachol Lachzorbo. So until he has been Zocha in it, or somebody else, Zocha in it, he says he can be chozer on it. Now the difference, if he's one who's Zocha in it, the nafkamina would be for Meiser. In other words, if he's chozer on it, then he's chayv Meiser. If he's Zocha on it, he went through a hefker and now he's like reacquiring. But the Tana of the Braisa says, Adshlo Zachaba, till he was Zocha in it, until somebody's Zocha in the field, Yachol Lachzorbo. So if it's Reuven's field, Reuven says my field is only going to be hefker for 1 day. Now here, where he has a limited time, the person by his own declaration says it's for a limited time, so we don't hook into this Gezeirah D'Rabbanan that we said before with Ramayim. The Ramayim aren't mafkirit for like limited periods of time. But their scheme is just, you know, mafkirit, and then I want to reclaim it. I don't say I'm mafkirit for 1 day or something like that. So the kind of D'Rabbanan is only in the first case. But if a person is mafkir for a time certain, so then as long as that time has not elapsed, he can be a chozer on it. He says, "Ashlo sachava bein hu bein acher kol azorbo." Bishes sachava bein hu bein acher ein yachol azorbo. When somebody's zochin, he can't be chozer. So lechora, these few lines in the Braisa seem to be like Rabbi Yossi according to Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, that the person when he declares something hefker could retract it, until somebody's zocher with it. In other words, once somebody's zocher with it, he can't retract it. That sounds like Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Yossi. So the beginning of the Braisa sounds like within Rabbi Yochanan. The beginning of the Braisa sounds like the Chachamim's version, according to Rabbi Yossi. And the second part sounds like Rabbi Yossi. I didn't say right. The beginning part sounds like the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the second part sounds like Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanan Sefer Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, that makes sense. The Reisha should be like the Chachamim and the Sefer like Rabbi Yossi. So we'll see. We'll do this Blin Eder tomorrow, this part, okay? So now, let me just do a little bit, and then it'll be it for today. All right, 1 minute. So, all right. This is coming from yesterday, which was interesting. All right, let me go over this piece a little bit from yesterday. So in yesterday's daf, if you remember, we said that was talking about when a person was Mudar Hana'a, so he couldn't, let's say, Reuben was Mudar Hana'a from Shimon, so Reuben cannot borrow from Shimon, but we said Shimon can't borrow from Reuben either, remember? So we said, so why can't Shimon borrow from Reuben? So Abai's Hezver is that if, in other words, we don't want Shimon to get involved with borrowing at all. If Shimon can borrow from Reuben, Shimon will come to lend to Reuben. So the Ramah rules that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Mano, just like men. Additionally, women should send Mishloach Mano to women, and men should send to men. But a man and a woman should not send Mishloach Mano to each other, since it could lead to a man sending Mishloach Mano to a widow, which could raise a concern that kiddushin was done. In other words, if a man sends Mishloach Mano to a woman who's not married, there's a concern. Well, I don't know. He says kiddushin, but I think they're talking about sivlonot. There's a different sugya. Sivlonot is like when a man gets married, he sends like gifts of food to his bride. We don't want people to think like they did kiddushin. But anyway, he says like this. This issue, however, is only concerned for Mishloach Mano, but not for Matanos Levyonim. In other words, by Matanos Levyonim, we don't say there's a problem of giving. Let's say the woman's an Evyon and she's not married, a widow. We don't say there's a problem giving Matanos Levyonim to the woman. But we said it's a problem giving Mishloach Mano to the woman. So why is one a problem, one is one not a problem? So Shus Yaakov asks, so the concern is that the Mishloach Mano raises concern. He says for Kiddushin here, but the way I remember the Mishbru is Sivlono, but assuming Kiddushin, why is it prohibited for a woman to send Mishloach Mano to a man? So then if we're concerned with Kiddushin, why can't a woman not send it to a man? He says, in other words, Kiddushin is to the man for the woman, so why can't the woman send Mishloach Mano to a man? So it's not possible for a woman to give Kiddushin to a man, be no concern, unless Chazal prohibited a woman from giving Mishloach Mano to a man, which is similar to the decree against the man giving Mishloach Mano to a woman, Zeraha Tuha. But that seems too far-fetched. In other words, the Shvus Yaakov considers, why would it be, so I understand that a man can give Mishloach Mano to a woman. I'm afraid that there'll be like Kiddushin. I don't want that. But then why can't the woman give Mishloach Mano to the man? That can't be Kiddushin. So he says, maybe it's because that it's Zeraha Tuha. The main concern is the man giving to the woman. But because we don't want the man to give the woman, we don't want the woman to give the man either. Then the man will come to reciprocate or do something like that. But the Shus Yaakov thinks that it's too far-fetched to Hezber. So Rabbi Yosef Engel takes issue. This is in Gilyonei Ashas. He says, and Rabbi Yosef Engel also wrote Asman Doraisa. Anyway, so he says here, he takes issue with the Shus Yaakov's assertion. This case seems to be too far-fetched to warrant a decree. In an argument, Rabbi explains, so in an argument, we see that it does work out. Rabbi says the reason one who prohibits his friend from benefiting from his property may not borrow items from him is out of a concern that borrowing may lead to lending. This explanation indicates that when a Chazal have a concern that necessitates a decree, they will structure the decree so that it works in both directions of the relationship rather than limiting it to a specific direction of concern. So that which the Shvus Yaakov rejects, the Gilyonei Ashas from Yosef Engel says they think it's a good Hezber based on our Gemara. Now, the Shvus Yaakov suggests an alternative explanation why men and women may not send Mishloach Mano to one another is that an inappropriate gesture of affection, as opposed to when the money is given, is stuck on Matanos Levyonim. The Betzel HaChachma suggests that one could infer from the Ramah that in general it is permitted to send gifts to married women. Since the primary concern of the Ramah was the case of a man sending Mishloach Mano to a widow, it would seem that sending to a married woman would not be an issue since she cannot receive Kiddushin. He hesitates to draw a definitive conclusion on the matter, since it's possible that Chazal allowed gifts to be sent only in the context of performing a mitzvah. So, all right, that's that piece. All right, now we've got a story here. You go ahead. No, no. In other words, let's say you have a husband and wife. You have a husband and wife. So you'll send the shach manos to the husband. In other words, the shach manos of the man will send to a man. Whereas men should send to men, women to women. So if I'm sending shach manos, I'm sending it to the head of the family. And even though the family will get it, but it'll be to the husband. Okay, that's where it's coming out. But from the Ramah, it didn't sound like there was a problem per se with sending to a married woman. But in general, he says the men should send to men and women should send to women. Okay, now, All right. I think I'm going to call it a day with that. Okay, so let me just end the recording.